It is very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, we were actually going to talk about the tents on the canal today. Because, as you know, 48 tents were back on Dublin's Grand Canal Quay yesterday. Because, I don't know, 400 or 500 people are entering the country every single week and the numbers are not changing. It's just becoming more and more. It's just a steady flow of people, most of whom shouldn't even be here. But they are entertained by the state and encouraged by the state. There is no deterrent whatsoever because there is no will to do it because the NGOs have too much pressure on the government and the lefty parties. So, but I change my mind. And the reason I change my mind is because they're gone again. The reason they're gone again is because it's a big football match in the Aviva Stadium this weekend. Of course, they wouldn't want the tourists to see those horrible immigrants all in the tents along the quays or along the canal. I mean, that's obviously facetiously. So what I'm saying to you is there's no point in talking about it because we all know the answer to it. The only people that don't seem to know the answer to it is the government. And your opportunity to fix that is when there's a general election. It is quite astonishing, by the way, that it can continue to happen. If you didn't see the pictures, we spent 30,000, I believe it's 30,000 a week it's costing to rent the barriers because it's a private company that are putting them up. And they put the barriers up like double layered and they put the tents between the two barriers. It's almost like they're there to protect the people in the tents rather than protect the general public and protect the canal. It's absolutely outrageous. Simon Harris promised months and months ago that it would never happen again. But yet we allow it to happen constantly all the time. I mean, surely to God, when the first tent or second tent goes up, at some point, a member of An Garda Síochána is walking past and would say, no, you can take that down. And somebody said yesterday, by the way, because I put a tweet up yesterday, it said those charities who are enabling people to do this, and there are charities who are purchasing these tents out of your taxpayers' money, by the way, because they're funded by the state and giving them to them, they should also be charged with enabling a crime. And then somebody put up on Twitter, what are you talking about, boy? You're a big right-wing racist. It's not a crime. It is actually a crime to pitch a tent in a public place without a permit. Absolutely is a crime. There's no doubt about that. It's also a crime to enter the country legally with no identification, which many of those people do. So there are numerous crimes being broken and laws being broken and numerous crimes being committed. But nobody, and I mean nobody, seems to be responsible or nobody is taking any action. I don't know who made that decision. It was made a long time ago. When I say a long time ago, 2 or 3 years ago, certainly in Ireland, somebody made the decision not to implement the law anymore when it comes to immigration in this country. It's something we could talk about every single day. But the problem is, we all know the answer. But the government don't seem to know the answer. And there is no will to do it. They will continue doing it. It's like a broken record. Let's do the same thing every single day, expecting a different result in the morning. It's never going to happen. And the only way it'll happen is when you, the people, make a change. Remember, the individuals responsible for this, they're working for you. Your taxpayers' money. John McGurk wrote an interesting piece. I tried to get John on today, but he wasn't available. But I'm sure he'll talk about it in his own podcast, and I will try and get him on Monday or Tuesday, saying that we should be paying politicians $33 million a year. Now, obviously, he's being sarcastic in the sense that $33 million a year is the price they pay to the director of Pfizer, who has a lot more employees than, say, the Minister for Health in Ireland. So in other words, we're getting monkeys to do the job. These are people who go through college, who study social politics in school and college. And what they do is they learn how to keep a job. They don't learn how to do a job. They learn how to keep a job. So these politicians are all teetering on the edge of losing their job every 5 years. And all they're doing is learning how to communicate and to communicate lies to the people and to deceive the people into thinking they're doing a good job, creating small problems and fixing those small problems, making it look like they're actually working. But they're not. So what I'm saying to you is, if you want to talk about it, we'll talk about it another time. No point in talking about it today. Tents are gone again. But they will be back on Monday or Tuesday as soon as the match is over. And the guards will ignore them again. And it'll be allowed to happen. In the meantime, today, if you want to get involved in our conversation, the number is 085 122 55. And what I wanted to ask you was, I'm going to go to John in a minute. And the reason I'm going to go to John is because he has an interesting story that raises an interesting point. And it's, would you intervene in a fight? Yes, society has become more violent. There's no doubt about that. We have seen more crime on the streets. Or maybe we're just seeing more crime. I don't know. Because of social media. But would you intervene? If you saw a guy beating up another guy, pardon me, would you go over and intervene? If you saw a guy beating up a girl, would you go over and intervene? If you saw two girls fighting, would you intervene in the fight? Would you be that good Samaritan? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Let me go to John first and find out exactly what happened. John, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are things?
Good.
Yeah, this happened about 2 weeks ago here in our own Cork. And there's two things that freaked me out. Number one was the attack, the ferocious attack on a defenseless taximan. And remember, now, it's the one job. Like, you wouldn't go into Dublin tonight in your private car, and if somebody flagged you down, take a total stranger in and ask him where he was going. You wouldn't do that. Nobody would do it. But 7 days and seven nights a week, taximen take complete strangers. It's the one job where you're taking a stranger into your workplace, into your car, in a confined atmosphere, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't know what their background is, whether they have mental problems, whether they're complete scumbags, whether they're out to rob you, whether they could actually kill you, whether they're psychotic problems, whatever. It's the one job, every single time that door opens in that cab, you don't know who's getting in, basically. And you're at the mercy of God only knows.
Yeah, now, you're in a very vulnerable position, absolutely.
You are. No, I believe, no, two things as well. I believe that if there's an attack on a taximan, as I say again, who's the most vulnerable out there, there should be mandatory 5-year stretch. There should also be issued license to carry pepper spray. No, this 2 weeks ago, this attack, this is the part where you freaked me out and people in Cork. There was 15 to 20 other taxis parked up when this guy was...
Where was this? In Patrick Street?
This isn't the Grand Parade.
Oh, the Grand Parade, okay.
You know the Grand Parade, just up from where you would do your classic hit stuff there before the parties. And they sat in their cars. Well, this guy refused to take this character because obviously he assessed that there was something about him, and boy was he right. And your man basically beat the crap out of him, like, I mean, really hurt him, like, and put him in hospital. And nobody got out of their cars to help their fellow colleague. Nobody in the street. People in the street eventually got involved. But the taxi men sat in their hole and doing nothing. There was a time, going back, that if that happened here in Cork City or anywhere, Dublin taxi drivers, Limerick taxi drivers, and they saw one of their own had been beaten up, they would all jump out of their cars and restrain your man and call the girls. And of course, the girls would be there. I'd seen it years ago here in Cork, where anyone was attacked like that, somebody would ring, and this is pre-mobile phone. The girls would be called either from the telephone box or the taxi men would radio into the base and they'd radio into the girls, whatever. But the girls would be there in about half a minute and they would be dragged in and kicked into a paddy wagon or a squad car. But it took ages for the girls to respond again for the simple reason, and I know this for a fact because a girl told me off the record, the cameras below in the main headquarters in Anglesey Street in Cork, where there was 3 Garda barracks before, you know how one... Right, which was supposed to be the main one, like, I mean, we'd never again have any problems. He told me for a fact, and I suspected this a long time, that the cameras are not, with the lack of personnel now, and not enough guards now.
They're not being
the
monitored.
They're not being monitored 24/7, which they're supposed to be.
Okay,
they're
so what they're doing is they're only monitoring it when they get told something.
That's
as well.
They're supposed to, the way it works, they're supposed to be an individual sitting in front of that 24/7. But it's not happening. And to reinforce it and to know that the information that was told by the guard was right, when this attack happened, it came out then locally, right, that the guard, they were trawling, listen to this now, trawling through CCTV footage to get to the incident. But that means there was definitely nobody monitoring, because if there was, they wouldn't have to trawl back and try and find this incident in the CCTV.
And by the way, John, were you there yourself?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
But I mean, the thing is, like, I mean, I heard the boat and I spoke to him, and there was that saw the aftermath of it.
Okay.
And just was highlighted.
Did the guy? Okay, so it's from what you heard, the taxi driver didn't want to take this guy in the car for whatever reason, and that's their call. By the way, they don't have to. You know, they can refuse somebody based on, you know, but they might believe he's a threat to them or whatever.
Yeah.
And the guy lost the rag and started beating the shit out of the taxi driver. Did he pull him out of the car, or did he do it in the car?
No, the taxi man was going around, was pulled out of it, and he was battered. He was battered through the window from what I know, and he was punched as well, then out of the car. He was sent to drag him out of it. But the thing is, like, there was taxi drivers rang in the local stations after which weren't in the vicinity and said if they had been there, they'd have had no problem getting stuck in. But there's the guys that were there, that sat in their hole. Like, I mean, did they not think, Noel, that could be me? That could be one of them. But still, they chose to sit in their hole. and do absolutely nothing. And then, of course, the usual, the Gardaí response was completely inadequate, completely, because there's just not enough guards. People won't even.
And how is the? I mean, I don't know if you've heard. How is the guy? Is he okay?
Yeah, he's getting there, like. But I mean, you can imagine, oh, his
I'd say it was traumatizing.
This is not the first time. Like, that's going back about a year ago. There was a guy who got into the back seat, like, I mean, and halfway up the road, like, he got the strap around the safety belt around the taxi man's neck, and he tried to strangle him on this inside in the car. So this is what I mean. There should be a mandatory 5-year sentence. If you touch the most vulnerable person, because it's the one job, as I keep repeating, you don't know who's getting into your care, you don't know what their mental state is, you don't know they're on drugs or drink or whatever, or they're just complete psychopaths. Like, 5-year stretch and license to carry pepper spray.
Mm. And do you think, John, if you would have been there, now I know obviously you're not a young man anymore, but if you'd have been there, would you have done something?
Oh, Christ, I would. I wouldn't give a care if I got a punch even. I stopped, this is about 3 years ago now. This was in the suburbs. I came across a situation where there was two girls fighting, and one was down the ground, and the other one was hopping her head off of the concrete. She'd got caught by the long hair, and she'd banging her head off of the slabs down the ground.
Oh, God.
And only for I pulling her off. And when I pulled her off, she started effing and blinding me, and so I thought I'd just get the hell out of it. Like, but only for I coming along, God only knows what
she
would
could have
happened.
Killed her. Yeah, she could have killed her. I've seen people do that.
Well, she wasn't going to stop.
Okay, women can be equally as violent as men. Generally speaking, why do you think people choose not to intervene in fights? And so many people don't. They just, you know, they'll walk straight. They literally step over the fight.
I think something has really changed on the psyche of people now, that they feel like, you mentioned, she's doing what happened here, or if you get stabbed or something.
You know what happens in the modern world now? Two people start fighting in the street. What's the first thing people do?
Well, people take out their phones.
They take out their phones and they video it.
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't stop it. They video it. In the old days, you'd go over there and you'd get involved, you'd stand in between them, hold them apart, whatever. Nowadays, the first thing people do, particularly young people, is they take out their phone and video it for TikTok.
Yeah, there was about 2 years ago, there was a guy, he was coming out of a pub and he was locking up, and only for there was empty barrels outside, there was guys attacked him and he had to pick up the barrel. Mm. And only for the barrel, he used that to defend himself, that he would have been badly injured. But again, he had to make his way from the top around that same area, right down to Anglesey Street, where the main headquarters of the guards are, to report what happened. Again, nobody watching the cameras.
Do me a favour, John, just stay there for a second. Sean, hi, how are you doing?
Noel, how are you?
Good, Sean. Would you, if you had been there, you've heard John describe the situation, which sounds horrific, by the way. If you'd have been there, would you have done something? Would you have got involved?
It depended on the situation, Noel, you see, I was that guy many years ago. I intervened. I was in City Centre there, and there was a few of us. You were out for a night out, and there was a guy and a girl having a good row, and he gave her a few digs, and I stepped in, and I said, fucking leave it out, leave, you know. And she started on me, he started on me, the two of them, you know. And, you know, I told him, that's what John done there, fuck off, you know, the two of you, you know. And
you got a hiding for being the peacemaker?
Oh, no, they didn't touch me, like, I know, I would have given the two of them a hiding if they had started, but no, she was starting on me, you see, you know, so I think the two of them wanted to go at it, and I was only doing her a favour because he hit her. But the fact of the matter is, and this is out to John as well, I've heard what you said there, John, but times have changed, John, now. It's not like 20, 30-odd years ago now. It's different now. People are carrying knives, they're carrying weapons, they're carrying everything, you know. And, you know, as I say, Niall, it depends on the situation. And it would have to be a kind of a life and death situation that I'd interview.
Well, what John tells me, it sounded like a life and death situation. I mean, if your man hadn't gone on him any longer, he could have killed him. He ended up in the hospital.
Well, as I said, you know, the whole thing is a very fact. I come in and I hear our friend Tiano on the line. But the thing is, like, it would never have happened before that there would be 15 to 20 taxis around the area and were looking at this and done nothing about it. Christ, no matter how frightened they were, they could have got out of the car, two or three of them. Jesus Christ, their safety in numbers, they could have restrained your man.
I get that, you know, but they were probably afraid as well, John. You know, you don't know what's going on in people's heads, you know, because they're at risk. If they gave them a few digs, John, and you have to look at this as a legal point of view too, John. If they get out there and they gave your man a dig and he hit the ground and he banged his head, that's them. Their lives are fucked. You know, that's their jobs and livelihoods.
I know, but you see, if we all go down that road, like we see people being attacked or a girl dragged into her lane and she's probably going to be raped and beaten to death or something. We say, oh, Jesus, this is not the road, mate. I mean, if we're all going to go on that ship, we're fucked.
So are you saying, Sean, you've kind of learned your lesson from your experience?
Yeah, I did.
So if you saw a woman being attacked tomorrow in a park and you were there, are you telling me you'd walk past?
No, you see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It depends on the situation. Like, if I seen a girl again, of course I wouldn't have been in a park, of course I would. If I seen a couple there now in town tonight, mounting out them, because we are heading into town tonight, if I seen them mounting out them, I'd be just walking by, fuck, you know, because they're drunk and I wouldn't intervene like in that situation again, Noel. Because we've heard so many times of people coming out the wrong end of this. Getting bangs of glasses and getting the whole lot. I've heard it all, Noel.
I'm sorry. There's a text just came in there. Your man Sean on the air is clearly just a coward.
Call me what you like, but I don't want to end up in a Garda station with somebody that I'm going to knock the bollocks out, and I wasn't even my row. Tell them that. Because it can simply happen. Because if somebody did grab me and I was only intervening, I wouldn't stop. I'd knock them the fuck out. And that would be my problem then, Noel, you see. I'd end up in the cop shop, I believe. And hear what Sean said there a minute ago, or John said a minute ago. They'd become looking for me then, Noel. And that's the problem that I have. Do you really
I do understand the position you're in, but surely your instinct as a human being is to protect somebody if you see somebody who looks in a vulnerable situation. I mean, if this was just two lads fighting in the street, I could kind of understand to some degree that people don't get involved, right? But this is a taxi driver doing his job. And as John mentioned, there's 10 or 15 other taxi drivers sitting in their cars on the rank, all looking at it happen. Yeah. Not one of them could get out and say, listen, what's going on here? Can you stop?
I can get where John's coming from, and I do. If there had been that many of them, they should have gotten involved. Because it is always better in numbers, traveling numbers and what. Mm. But the fact of the matter is, they obviously didn't see fit to get involved in this because your man was, as John said there, he was going to town on them, on the other guy.
Yeah.
So they're probably afraid of him throwing it on them and going to town on them as well,
By the way, do you think taxi drivers, John reckons taxi drivers should be allowed to carry a weapon or pepper spray or whatever? Some of them probably do, actually.
I'm just not going to be, I get where he's coming from. I think taxi drivers need to carry some sort of...
Yeah.
Sorry?
It's a dangerous job.
They need to carry something, sort of. Yeah, it is a dangerous job. But if you really say it, Niall, everybody's vulnerable. It's not only a taxi driver, it's everybody. You're walking down the street, you're taking a life now.
But I'm not as vulnerable as a taxi driver. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I get that. I get that. They should have some sort of protection, I suppose,
As I said, Niall, it's the one job, Well, 7 nights of the week, you could be actually seriously injured or worse. You're picking up a total stranger.
Yeah. Okay, let me just go to Angela as well. Well, hang on, both of you. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Angela, I mean, that sounds like an incredible story. Mind you, it doesn't surprise me that nobody got involved. That's quite common nowadays for people just to stand there and video the fight instead of actually trying to stop it. I mean, as a woman, would you get involved?
No, and shame on whoever called Sean a coward there. Like, seriously.
I think it was Steve.
Yeah, was it Steve? Sorry. You don't know what you're getting into. He's pummeling him. You don't know, has he got a knife? Has he got anything? You could end up being the hero of all of this and 6 foot under. I can remember going back.
But how would you feel if, later it came in on the news, a man was attacked today in Grand Parade in Cork and sadly he passed away from his injuries and you were standing there and did nothing about it? You wouldn't feel too hot about it.
That could have been you as well, though, Noel. If you look at it that way.
I'd ring the guards straight away and I would hype it up. I would hype it up so that they...
Good luck with that, Angela.
Hmm.
I know, but the thing is, I've had experiences lately with it, and when things are going bad, they're on the ball here, where I am. But what I'm going to say is, going back a good few years ago now, myself and one of the lads were driving through Limerick, and we drove past an alley, and he stopped, and he went, hold on a second, and he reversed up, and there was a fella beating the shit out of a girl down the alley. He got out of the car. I got out as well. We ran down, and your one turned on him.
No, that can
like
happen.
Like only fella. You know, like...
No, I know somebody that happened to years ago, and actually he got a smack of her high heel. She took her high heel shoe off and smacked him across the side of the head, and he ended up with a scar across his face. Because he got involved. Because that was in Fleet Street in Dublin. Because he tried to stop. He saw your man giving her a box in the middle of the street and he went over. And then, you're right, she turned on him.
She turned on him, you know what I mean? And it was just, it was crazy. I turned around, pulled him, and I said, come on, let's go. I said, beat the shit out of her. I don't care. I said, go on. You know?
But even going over, you know, it, like if two or three of those taxi drivers had to get out, you know, your man probably would have ran anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not going to try and challenge a few people. But the fact they sit in their holes, as John said, and do nothing, you know, and just watch it happen.
That's the thing, Niall. Why should, and please see where I'm coming from, why should you intervene in that when you know there's 15 or 20 fellas behind you that aren't going to back you up? I mean, that's what you have to look at. If there was 15 or 20 taxi drivers sitting there on their backside, not helping this guy, and you go in, you know they're not backing you up either.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you see. Now, they should have got out of the car, like two or three of them, at least. And there was a time like when this would have happened. But what has happened, that fellow taxi men will sit in their hole while one of their own has been battered.
Fear, John. Fear, as you say.
I mean, if that's the way, we might as well just build a wall around the city and not go in anymore. Or just close society. We'll all stay inside and home and we won't go anymore.
It's horrible because, like, as you said, going back years ago, everyone would have backed everyone up. But I do, a lot of it has to do with social media. You see one thing kicking off and next suddenly it's like an all-out brawl.
That's the truth, Angela. You're very right.
Didn't have friends around the corner that are going to come out with knives. And what's the newest thing now? Machetes. You've no hope. You've absolutely... I feel so sorry for that taxi driver.
Yeah, but that's why we need tougher sentences, right? And that's why we need more gas. Like, we have three of the heavy hitters in the country. We have Michael McGrath, with Simon Corbyn, you know, who's pulled back a bit now, and Micheál Martin. And yes, there is every day we hear it about attacks on the street, drugs, intimidation, right? Aggressive behaviour, you name it. And don't stop me on the amount of robbery that's going on in the shops. I mean, that's just gone through the roof now at this stage. No, like, I observed that myself yesterday where my man got into an altercation with a guy and they nearly got at it inside in the shop because he said to me, "Why aren't you waiting my bed over here? Get out of here." And the man was standing up to him. And he's the man told me after the owner, he's after being barred in the hungry tents. He's not to set foot inside the shop. Yet that Tuareg choice is still coming in.
Mm. Sorry, but Sean. Hang on, Sean. Sorry, John. What do you want to say, Sean?
John.
I just want to say to John, Niall, that, you know, I get where John's coming from. I do, of course I do. But he is right.
I understand what both of you are saying, right? Angela and Sean. But John is right. You know, I mean, if you go back 10, 20 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. It just wouldn't have happened.
Things were different, Doyle.
Are they that different?
They can't be expecting the public to do the Gardaí's job either.
But the Gardaí can't be everywhere.
I know that, Niall, and we all know that. But here's the thing, Niall, as I said to you, and I did point out to you, if I gave that guy a few digs that was down in Cork,
But I used to, and I don't mean disrespectfully to you, but maybe I do. I used to then not part of the problem of society.
No, we're not.
Because I've seen
for firsthand what can happen with breaking up a row. And as I said to you, it depends on the situation. You know, it depends on what's going on that minute, that second time minute. And as you said there, you pointed out, if I was going through a park and I seen a girl getting attacked, of course I would. I wouldn't even think about it twice. But, you know, I wasn't there that day. The size of the guy to the size of me. Everything depends on everything now. You know, you got to be there to be weighing up the odds of, if I'm going to hit him, I'm going to have to keep hitting him because he's a big guy, you know. So that's my point as well, Niall, you know. And you're taking your life into your own hands, basically.
I can understand that side of it, Niall, obviously, because the fear just kick in. It's the fight or flight. Like, you either get involved or you won. But if you assess the situation, you see, Jesus Christ, I won't be able to just go here now. But if there's a situation, like, I keep getting back to it.
And do you know what, Niall? I know, sorry there, just to interject. I know something that happened recently, right? Of a guy who had to pull another guy off of a girl, right? I can't go into the story.
Takes it.
And he literally kept hitting this guy and kept hitting him and kept hitting him. And he kept getting up and he kept getting up because he was so coked off his head that nothing was keeping him down. Nothing. And it went on for an easily 20 minutes.
Yeah, but hold on, we can say that about every single situation. And I understand where the two of you stand on this, right? And, you know, I have a lot of texts coming in from people, by the way, not very happy, which is, but I understand the point you're making. But you could say that about every situation, Angela. You don't know. When you see a row across the other side of the street, or you're walking to Temple Bar, or you're walking to Grand Parade in Cork, you don't know, you know, what's happening until you go over there and assess the situation. But then you're in then you've made the decision to go and do it. All I'm saying is, you assess the situation. And yes, Sean, you're right, there's a risk. There is a risk. But if you see a girl getting a hiding...
I'm going to ask you this then.
Yeah.
And for the people that's texting in and calling us cowards and what have you not, say if I did get involved in this and this guy starts to go to town on me and starts winning over me and he has me on the ground, who's going to rescue me, Niall? Do you get me?
I would hope if we all thought the same way that somebody would intervene and help you then.
Yeah. Well, you would hope.
But you would hope, wouldn't you?
Okay, both of you stay there. Sean and Angela, just stay with me. I want to go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Maureen, I mean, look, John seems fairly traumatised by what he even heard. And I can understand why. It sounds like a bizarre situation that you got 10 taxi drivers, according to him, sitting in their cars or more, and not one of them would get out of their car and actually help the guy.
It does. I heard it on the radio myself. I heard the taxi driver telling his experience on the radio that I'm there one morning last week.
Yeah.
And look, years ago, when I began working first and I started in the bars and the nightclubs, I got a bit of courage. You know, you do. I'd intervene in everything. And now you're dealing with drunks. But I intervened. I would intervene if it was going too far. If someone's having a verbal at each other, I'd keep an eye on them and I'd say, yeah, they're just mouthing. They're all right, you know. And some people calm down. But a friend of mine opened a taxi driver in the town where I am, a taxi office, around 2010, and it was flying. But one night, there was a commotion, I heard the commotion outside the door, and someone came in and said, the man's name was Joe, and another co-worker is after getting attacked. Well, now I'm not joking. The adrenaline kicked in. I went out that door like a tigress, and the guy was a big guy now, and he had a few of his friends around him. Well, I flew at him like a tigress. And I think it was the element of surprise. He didn't know what was after happening. And I ripped him a new one in the middle of the street. And again, of course, inside had been calling the guards. Couldn't go on and, you know, sort this out because it could have got a lot worse. But I was only a woman. But I flew at this big guy. And I just ripped him a new one. And he backed off. And his buddy
I was going to say, he backed off. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. And I'm going to say this to Sean and Angela. That, Angela, if a woman intervenes, she's less likely to get it. Like, if two lads are fighting and a woman intervened, she's less likely to get a dig. Whereas if a lad intervenes, he's probably going to get a dig.
Kyle, yep. I see this going back about 8 years ago. My ex-husband was playing a rugby match with his club and another club. I won't mention the club. And a big brawl between, like, let's say 20 rugby players. And I went into the middle of them and I, you know, tore them out and it was like, get off. But it's different when you know someone, Niall.
Maureen didn't know this guy.
He did. She knew he attacked.
It wouldn't have made any difference, Angela.
He attacked.
Yeah, I knew he attacked, but he attacked. Someone had been in the office, but it wouldn't have made any difference. If I had walked out of that office that night. No, hold on a second, Angela. I'll tell you. I'll explain to you. I had worked there and I was working at 5 o'clock in the morning, the same as it with the nightclubs and the bars where you're dealing with drunks. And half of them, when they're drinking, actually, I deem them a psychotic, half of them. But But if I would have seen, if I'd walked in the street and I'd have seen that carrying on, I'd have done the same thing. I would have said, I would have been
told. It's all right in doing it, Maureen.
Okay, well, sorry, one time. Sorry, Sean, what are you trying to say to Maureen?
Several times in my line of work.
Yeah, sorry, Sean, what are you trying to say to Maureen there?
It's all right in saying that, Maureen, and fair play to you. You know, I'm going to, you know, hats off to you. But I'd be, you know, if you were my partner or wife, I'd be telling you a difference. Because at that point, Maureen, if somebody
I'll tell you something. But you see, the reason I would do it is because, God forbid, I'm in that position one day and I'm being attacked. And I have still I'm still conscious enough to be able to look around and see people watch me getting attacked, and nobody jumped in to save me.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. See, Sean, if you were the victim, and you were that taxi driver, you'd be hoping someone's going to jump in, wouldn't you?
Well, sure, obviously, you know. But that's the thing, though, what we're talking about, you know. The people are afraid to do it these days, and they have a right to be afraid.
Well, if you were lying on the ground, you'd be looking at you and Angela standing over there. Going, okay, that's not good.
But hold on, Maureen. Yeah. Can I ask Maureen a question? If you were down there the other night and you saw him pummeling a taxi driver on the ground and there was no one around, you still would have went up?
I would have, yeah. I would have, because I'm seeing somebody getting beaten on the ground, and I'm looking at other people just sitting there doing nothing, and maybe if somebody did do it, the rest of them might have the balls to get out of their taxi and actually do something about it.
They might. Well, what if they might?
They might, but at least I tried, Angela.
Well, Maureen, let me finish.
The thing is, Maureen,
if he turns on you?
Yeah.
If he does, he does. It was up to me to go and do it, but I'm looking at something. I don't want to see somebody getting beaten to death on the ground, and I'm going to stand there and watch it. And one of them, hold on a minute, Angela. Angela, hold on. Stop cutting across me. I'll answer you. And that person dies on the ground. And I walk away. What way am I going to feel after that? That I could have done something and I didn't do it.
That's me, and
that's the kind of person I am.
Well,
and nothing
will
ever change my mind on that.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
I'm not trying to change your mind, Maureen. You do what you do best, but I'm going to say this to you. So if you intervene and then you stop getting him a hiding, or you're the taxi driver, and he starts giving you a hiding, and he hits you or you hit your head wrong and you're dead, where did they get you? Where did they get your family? Where did they get you? Where did they get anybody? You know? Yeah, and it wasn't even spin to start with, you know?
But exactly, and I can see your point, but it's not the point. It's at the time. As a human being.
Yeah, I get that.
Well, hang on. Just let me bring Steve in as well. Steve, hi, how are you?
What's
crack? How are you doing? Steve, I understand the point Angela and Sean are making. It is a very different world. We are seeing people carrying knives, machetes, all sorts of things. You don't know what the person might have. You know, and they said, you know, it's kind of not worth the risk nowadays. Whereas Maureen said she'll get stuck in.
Cowards die many times before their death, Niall. And that's really true. And what I will say, without trying to insult Angela or Sean, that's exactly what their acts would be cowardly. Because it's all about self-preservation at that stage.
But isn't that what human beings do, self-preservation?
Hold on a fucking minute, Steve.
No.
Hold on a minute, Sean.
Sean, you do not get to interrupt me. I haven't finished.
I do, so yeah.
Wait a minute. I have two kids, you idiot.
I have a family to run.
Okay, that's great, Sean. Listen, Sean, let him finish what he has to say first, then you can speak, right? He let you talk. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Lyle. So what I want to say is, where Maureen is concerned, fair play to Maureen. You are a genuine, decent human being. Now, I'm sure there's other areas. I was just about to say, I'm sure there's other areas where Angela and Sean are good people, but they have let themselves down and their community down when they refuse to intervene in a situation like that. Regardless whether the person had a screwdriver, a gun, a machete, I don't care. If I see an innocent human being attacked, I have no choice, regardless of my family members, if they lose me or not. I have to intervene because that's the type of person I am. If you want to call me a fucking idiot, now hold on a second. If you want to call me a fucking idiot and have a go at me just because I have more scruples than you, is that I wouldn't allow an innocent person to be
hurt.
So let me get this straight. You two, Yeah, go ahead, Angela.
You're telling me, Steve, that if you see a guy chopping up another fella with a machete, you'd go over there and
absolutely.
Intervene?
Absolutely, oh, yeah. God. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, Steve, you've just moved the goalpost. You know, if I saw some lad with a machete and he's attacking somebody else, I'm thinking twice. And I don't even think, now, to be fair to Maureen, Maureen will go over that.
Niall,
having come and said that, if I had time, I'd be looking actually for somebody. How am I going to disarm this guy? What am I going to get? I'm going to get a good smack and get him down. It's as simple as that, like.
And while you're doing that...
Two fucking he-man on the radio.
Yeah.
Now, Niall, can I say something here, Niall? Can I?
Yeah, well, go ahead, Sean. Yeah, go on.
Now, Niall. Now, Steve and the he-man and Marty and the he-woman there. Now, here's the thing. That's, you know, it's very easy to throw around words and cowards and names. But the fact of the matter is, Niall, I'm going to explain this to Steve and Marty. I have a family to feed. I have kids at home, okay? So let me get this straight. I'm a coward for not doing what you just said there. I told you already, Steve, it would be dependent on the situation that I would be putting myself into. Now, the fact of the matter that you said, oh, sure, you're no good to your community, you're no good. I'm no fucking good to my family when I'm dead, Steve, you idiot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Cop yourself on, right. Steve. So, if I get injured, Steve, I just want to ask you this. If I get injured and breaking some shithead's fight up, right, and, it wasn't my spill to start with, but I get injured or maybe killed, where does my family lie in this? Who's going to come to? Who's going to say, where the fuck does this go? Where does this leave us?
Hang on, one at a time. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, can Maureen. I address something here?
Yeah, just
is it Sean?
Yeah.
Is his name?
Yeah, very quickly, Maureen, because I got to free up some lines.
Explain to me what you mean by he-man. Just because I'm a woman, that I don't have courage? No, I'm a woman, Sean. I'm not a he-man. I'm a he-nothing.
I never said you were showing
out these terms. Come on now.
I said I'm not. I'm sorry, you, Steve. Two blue Peter badges for the two of you today. But what I'm saying is this.
Niall, do us a favor.
Hang on one time. Yeah, sorry, Steve. What are you trying to say there?
So, isn't it amazing that two people on air right now, myself and Maureen, who said that we'd help an innocent person being attacked, and the other two are attacking us for saying that's what we would do?
You're attacking us first.
Hold on a second.
Hold on now, Steve.
Angela, hold on a second. Do you think, Sean, that calling somebody a shithead is a way to win an argument? You're just being an immature.
What way it is, but I tell you what.
No, of course
you
not.
Made
of
a statement.
Not. You would walk past an innocent human being.
I have to laugh at you.
Laugh all you want.
Whether you had a blade or a gun or a knife or whatever it was. Do you know what? Yes. You're an absolute clown of a thing. Honestly.
You are a clown, obviously.
Hang on, both of you there for a second. Angela, go ahead.
Niall, the reason that we are giving out to ye is because you called us cowards.
Exactly. And here's the thing. What is the definition of a coward?
Go on, Steve. Educate us. Go for it.
Somebody who will run away from a situation and put their needs first. That's what you two are doing.
But now, in fairness, Steve, Sean did say he did intervene on one occasion. And I've heard this before, Steve. They turned on him then.
Niall, I've been turned on many times. I've intervened loads of times. But here's the question, and I'll continue doing it. But here's the question. You tell me how is what you are saying not cowardly? Where am I factually incorrect in what I'm saying?
Because here's the thing, Steve. I'm not there to take care of the public. It's not my job, Steve, first of all.
Exactly.
Right?
You're being a coward.
Steve, right? Call me what the fuck you like, Steve, but the fact of the matter is, I've kids to feed and a house to run.
Hang on, Angela.
And it's no good without me.
Sorry, Angela wants to say something there, Angela. Go ahead.
So, Steve, I'm a coward if I don't run up to a guy with a gun who's going to shoot someone.
Yes. Well, let me ask you something.
Now, Steve, with the greatest respect, you know, I understand the point you're making. And, you know, I would weigh up a situation, right? You know, you do have to weigh up the situation and you have to consider your own safety as well, right? Mm-hmm. To some degree. But I know you'll act on instinct sometimes, and Maureen clearly acts on instinct, and so do you. Mm-hmm. But I'm not condemning Angela for saying, you know, if she saw somebody with a gun or a machete or whatever it is, that she would,
let me ask,
she would hang back.
Question, let me ask this question. It's very important. Let's say, for Pig Iron's sake, that there's something on the news and it's a guy, he has a gun and he's threatening a whole group of people. And one man runs in and he disarms the guy and saves everybody's lives. We would call that guy, what would we call him? We would call him a hero. What is
a
the opposite?
Idiot.
So you call him a fucking hero for saving lives? Given,
fairness, Angela, I call him a hero.
Steve.
Exactly.
You're given the best scenario here. To be honest with you, Steve, you'd probably blow your bleeding balls off. And I'll tell you, this is the cat.
You're such an immature twig. Honestly, so God, hold on a second. I have tried my very best.
We're going to call you a fucking idiot. That's what we're going to call you.
To be fair, Sean, if I watched a video and it was a guy holding up, say, people in a shop, and there was four or five people with their hands up and he's pointing a gun, and some guy who happened to be down the frozen section down the back that he hadn't noticed comes running out of nowhere in the aisle, tackles the guy to the ground and gets the gun off him, I'm going to say he's a hero. I'm not going to say he's a muppet.
No, well, Steve, that's in the best situation.
It's law and order. It's not special victims unit. We're not living in CSI Miami.
Oh, would you stop?
Yes,
these things happen.
Yes.
Hold on. Go.
Yes.
I tell you what, lads.
Watching too much fucking film, Jared.
Sean, shut the fuck up, will you? Sure.
Power Ranger,
you know,
Steve.
You are genuinely showing how much of a tick ignorant you are.
Lads, calm down the testosterone for a second. Sorry, Angela, what do you want to say?
Steve. So, Steve, you're telling me that if you see live on the news, right, that in your local shop, there is a guy holding up five people with a gun, you'd run down to the shop and run in.
Steve, to rescue.
Well, I mean, if the guards are already there and the news crews are there, what's the fucking point? Don't be so stupid.
His mom with the fame is gone, Angela.
Now you are being an idiot, Sean. You are being a complete idiot. And, you know, Angela, as for your CSI Miami, right, I've seen these videos online where it's CCTV from, say, a 7-Eleven in America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like, these are not movies. These are real life where people have intervened and have saved lives. I only watched one the other night. There was a girl. She was an off-duty cop. And this dude, you know, in the middle of the street, went over to try and grab some kids, right? And there was a load of people around panicking, blah, blah, blah. A man had a gun, right? This dude had a gun. This girl, who was an off-duty cop, was part of the group. She reached into her bags. You could see her doing it slowly and pretended to be scared. Pulled out her gun and shot him. I'm just saying it's a different situation, right? This is on CCTV. And I'm looking at her going, she took a huge risk. He could have shot her first. She took a massive risk. She's been a young woman in her 30s. And I said, fair play to her. Well done. Your mama's on the ground rolling around in pain. Everybody was saved.
She's the best thing since Louis Fred. Fair play to her.
Niall, do us a favour, will you?
Yeah.
No, do us a favour. Can I get like 10 seconds uninterrupted from them, please?
Yeah, then I have to go to Joe. Yeah, go on, I have to go to Joe as well.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
What I want to say specifically...
Let him speak, please. Go ahead, Steve. Yeah.
What I want to say is that, Sean, you have really showed how much of a tick ignorant moron you are today by the way you've behaved. You've become across today as such a selfish person that you're screaming and ranting and raving and calling me names when I would say that I would help people. When in actual fact, my man, you have shown your true colours today.
I'd say you'd fucking run.
You are a coward.
What is the definition of a coward? Niall, to not help a human being, is that a cowardly act? Yes or no?
To run away probably is.
You're being an idiot.
Yes, exactly.
Angela, you know, if a lad is being beaten on the street and, you know, and there's only one guy beating him and there's 10 people standing around watching, some of them with their mobile phones videoing it, they are cowards.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like...
Oh, so you
I'm
agree with Niall?
To walk past this. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Angela.
I'm not just going to walk past it. I'll call the guards. I'll try and get help. I'm not going to walk past it, but I'm certainly not going to go in. I'm 5 foot, for God's sake. I'm not going to go in where two grown men are pummeling each other.
Well, Maureen is smaller than you, from what I can remember. She's in and around the same. And Maureen would be, you know, she's only a slight woman. She's a lot older than you.
Oh, she said, but this, she gave an example of years ago. Well, you know,
I don't think she's got any shorter, or I don't think she's changed much. I'm just saying it was just a different attitude, Angela. You know what I mean?
No, I'll be honest. I think she's full of shit.
I not at all. I actually believe Maureen would do that. Stay there. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi. How are you?
Hi, not too bad, Niall. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Joe. Sorry, this has turned into a fully fledged row now at this stage.
Mm. Oh yeah, sure. That'll get the viewers. That'll get the viewing figures anyway, I tell you.
Anyway, Joe, would you intervene?
Well, if I saw a man being attacked in the street, I would probably intervene. Yes, I would. Providing, of course, I would know what the circumstances is. I certainly wouldn't. Like, if I saw an elderly person even being attacked, I would go full throttle for that person. Because I tell you, it makes my blood boil to see anyone being attacked, but especially if it's an elderly person, if it's an elderly woman or an elderly man, I certainly would go full throttle, because they're the kind of people that deserve dignity. They don't deserve to be attacked in any shape or form. But I would also use a bit of common sense too, because you see, the thing about it is, in this day and age, Niall, we're dealing with different kind of criminals now compared to what we were dealing with 20, 30 years ago. Everybody, the days of people using their fists are gone. They're using knives now. They're using switchblades. I can tell you a story a couple of weeks ago down in Tesco's. Now, I wasn't there, but I was talking to a security man, and here it's in Paul Street here in Cork, by the way. I probably shouldn't give the name to someone. Look, it doesn't really matter anymore, because you probably all know where it is anyway. There was a security man in there, a Polish security man, who's a fairly big-sized guy now, right? And he was attacked by three drunken lunatics. One of the fellas turned around and threatened to cut the face off him. The other fella threatened to beat the living daylights out of him. And only for two of his own buddies coming in, your man would have been in a box. And this guy was a pretty strong fella. And he was well able to handle himself. But he said, what I was told is that man couldn't believe the amount of fear that was put onto him from these guys. Now, we're dealing with a different culture. I'm not going to repeat myself, but we're dealing with a different culture now, where people don't have respect for the law, where people don't have respect for anybody. Like, if you say boo to somebody now, they'd probably box the fucking head off you.
I know. I do understand we're in a different, kind of world. We do live in a different world to the days when Sean kind of intervened in that fight and got a bit of lip, right? But I understand the point Steve is making about Sean and Angela. And, you know, it would be very hard as a human being to stand there and watch somebody else, an innocent person, let's say, and let's say you saw it from the start, an innocent person being basically beaten to death.
Oh, yeah, well, I thought I would accept that, of course. If somebody was being beaten to death, you would intervene, of course.
Yeah, but Sean and Angela won't. They're not intervening. They'll call the guards, all right, and they'll wait. That'll take about 15 minutes. The person will be dead.
But there's two sides to this. If you call the guards, sometimes the guards won't even come for probably...
Oh, I know what I'm saying. The person will be dead by the time the guards get there, yeah. Hang on, Joe. Sean, what are you trying to say to Joe there? What are you trying to say?
No. There's Joe there. He's making a very good few points there.
Yeah, but he still wouldn't stand there and watch somebody die.
Yeah, well, as I said to you already, Niall, I'd have to size it up and see. As I said to you, if this guy is 10 times bigger than me, there's no point in me getting in and getting it. You know what I mean? And I'm sure Joe or anybody else would understand.
What are you going to do? You're going to walk past, nothing to do with me? Bit of a cowardly thing to do, isn't it, Sean?
Well, there's no point in the here. You
nothing
know,
to do me. Not my problem.
What's going to happen to me?
Yeah, not my problem. Not my problem. Sorry, pal.
Yeah, but sure.
Sorry, your wife and kids are just going to have to do without you for the rest of your life.
So run in there.
You're not coming across the coward now, Sean, no? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm in a great guy, haven't I? When I'm the one that's dead on the fucking ground, should that say? Yeah.
How do you know you'll be dead on the ground? Well, clearly, if you walk past, he will be dead on the ground.
People have got one dig and they're dead. So how do you not?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you walk past and leave him to be beaten to death, he will be dead on the ground. How do you know you'll be dead on the ground?
How do you
strength in numbers? There'll be two of you then.
Well, if you start taking, here, the way Steve is going on, if you start taking liberty like the way Steve is...
I actually rarely agree with Steve. And I don't agree with everything Steve said. If somebody's there and he's wielding a machete, I'm going to double think how I'm going to deal with that situation.
Yeah. Steve's talking through his hole.
No, he's not talking through his hole. What he's saying is, as a human being, you have a response.
He's not going to intervene with anybody with a gun or a sword. He's a fucking idiot.
No, I think he would, actually. I think he would. He's that type of person.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, he's a worse idiot if he was going to do that.
You would have to be reasonably clever about it, but sometimes your basic human instinct kicks in when you see somebody who's in a life or death situation. Joe, the point Steve made about, you know, if there was a man standing there with a gun and a group of people that he was holding up and some lad ran in, dived on him like in a rugby tackle, took him to the ground, we'd all be saying he's a hero.
Well, he would be a hero, yes, if it worked out that way, Niall. But you must remember, if it works out that way, but sadly, sometimes it doesn't always go that way either, because another person who could be his accomplice could turn around and finish the job off for you, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand. Thanks for that, Joe. Morris, do you want to talk to Sean the Coward there, is it? Sorry, Sean.
Nah, listen, I think people shouldn't be judging each other. That's the problem. We're all phoning on each other, you know. The sooner we go back to helping each other, the better. It's ironic that you have a subject on about Cork today on the anniversary of the 102nd anniversary of Michael Collins being assassinated. And all he was doing was standing up for this country and trying to bring peace to this country.
Yeah.
And there you are.
Sean's clearly not related to Michael Collins.
Yeah, but listen, you know, I'm from an army background and I have 5 sisters and 4 brothers. And if anybody attacked any member of my family or the member of the public, I'd be in like Flynn. Because it's the way I was reared. I would have weighed up that situation in Cork, in my opinion, because I've been listening to all the arguments, right? Yep. I would have weighed up the situation. I would have took my phone out if I had a bottle of water. I'd have photographed your man and say, I have your photograph. If you hit that taxi driver again, you're going to prison for a long time. And if he persisted in hitting him because he's in a rage, then I'd spray me water into his face. And then I'd try and drag him off the taxi man.
There you go, Sean. That's how you do it. Sean will be on his way home. You can give him a ring and tell him how you got on. Sean will be on his way home.
That's it.
I defend my family to the hilt as well. I'm a family man and I have a son with special needs. And I will put them first. But I'll also bring them up the right way, that you don't turn your back on your brothers and sisters or your fellow citizens.
Not at all.
You weigh up the situation and you get help. I'd never call anybody a coward because we all have challenges.
I did.
No, you were called a coward. I understand that because people get enraged and they turn on each other. Nobody's a coward. The bravest man in all this was the taxi man. Now, he could be investigated and the police will say, well, why did you refuse to take him? And if he doesn't
Hang on. Whatever about why he refused to take him. That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant why he refused. If somebody refuses to take you in a taxi, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, you don't beat them up.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. But we don't know if it was a race issue. Why did no taxi men jump in? Was it 2 foreigners kicking the shit out of each other and they don't care about them because they're not locals? We don't know the situation.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the situation. But
you see, there you go.
But no, we're asking generally, would you intervene?
Yeah, 100%. I always put a human being before myself.
Yeah.
Well, that's his principle. That's the way he wants to bring up his family and live.
That's
his
okay.
Life.
Yeah, he can do that if he wants to. You'd be there helping the person, the poor person being beaten up. Sean will be on his way home, looking forward to his dinner.
That's a choice he makes and he has to live with. But nobody should be coming on here calling people cowards. It's not the right thing.
I didn't call anybody a coward.
No, I know you did.
No, you were called a coward. You were called a coward.
Well, the fact of the matter is, you can call me, the people can call me what we like, but what I said was from the start that I got into this situation many a year ago, if you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And,
they turned on you. They turned on you. Yeah, but Morris, if somebody walks away and leaves another human being to die in that situation, which could have happened, what do you call them?
You know, but the fact of the matter is...
Hang on. Morris, what you said you wouldn't call someone a coward. What would you call them?
Who, me?
Yeah.
A non-caring citizen.
A non-caring citizen. Is that a new politically correct term for the word coward? A non-caring... Well,
you know, so, coward, like I said, Niall, yeah, it can happen both ways. I could have ended up dead standing instead of the taxi driver. And where would have that got my family, you know? You see, if people say a lot these days, Niall, and the, you know, the likes of Steve there, I'd do this and I'd do that. We don't know that. We don't know that. You know, I have to take that at face value, but I'm not going to be a Steve and say to you, oh, I would do this, and I'd tackle a guy with a gun or a blade or anything. I'm being honest here. I'd have to size the situation up. I'd have to see what is actually going on. If there's a guy 10 times bigger than me, do you actually think I'm going to go in and get pummeled off him after he's pummeled a fucking taxi driver, maybe? You know, it doesn't work like that, guys.
Okay, you know? Well, hang on. Let me go to Connie. Connie, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Yeah. I have to say, I didn't think it was going to turn into a fully fledged row today. But anyway,
Mike, I was half afraid to come on. But anyway, all talk, maybe, but no action.
Yeah.
Like Maureen, I'm from Cork as well. I was working in a pub there a few years ago. I had a few incidents with a few gorriers that weren't locals that came in, and I had to basically a few roaring and threatening me, and I said, get the fuck out, like, to my language. And I said, don't ever come in here again while I'm here, because you won't be safe. I didn't serve one fella. There was one guy in there that was a local that was absolutely out of his face. So I thought the best thing they would do, I shoved him into the kitchen, he was trying to come out. I thought I'd locked the door. But anyway, and then they were in the pool room, and they were playing it. One fella was still angry at me, and he was not local. And the next thing, anyway, lo and behold, your man that was in the kitchen that was drunk and out of his head altogether, with lots more than drink, I'd say. And the next thing, he appeared behind me, and I was like, fuck, because I knew he was gunning for him, like. And the next thing, he said something under his breath, I didn't even hear it. Your man was going, I noticed he was going for him, he had a pool cue, and I said, oh, mother of God. So anyway, luckily, I knew where the light switches were. I turned them all off. So, and I saved your man anyway, not that he ever thanked me. But
Chase, you sound like a right Liam Neeson, you do, but go on, yeah. So these two guys were going to go in. You turned off the lights.
Yeah, go on. I could see it coming, the energy. I said, oh, Jesus, mother of God, he'll kill him. Because, I mean, your man was off his head. And then when he was leaving, I said, I said, get out and don't ever come in here again. And then the one fellow tried to go and talk to him. I said, when he came in, I read him as well. Are you stupid? I was so angry. They were looking at me. There was a few nights like that now that were there.
And so you'd have no problem getting in between them and stopping them from fighting?
Well, yeah, there's something. You can't just walk past, like, and these morons that go around with their phones taking photographs, like, what the fuck is wrong with them nowadays?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I have to, I'm sorry for cursing.
Okay, let me get back to the situation. Let's say you saw a guy being beaten up on the street and loads of people all looking around and it looked like an innocent person being beaten up. Would you go over and do something? Would you get involved?
Like a lunatic, and I try and find something that was ammunition.
Okay,
you know,
a weapon or something.
Him.
Yeah, to disarm.
Yeah, a knife. No, like if there was a machete, you'd have to think twice. But geez, you can't let someone kill somebody. You know, that's just morally wrong.
Sean, there you go. There you go. Connie said it. It's morally wrong, Sean, to walk away from that.
Fair play to Connie again. Fair play to her. Yeah, you go, girl. You know, well done.
I'm a big fan of Big Mick, Michael Collins. He's one of the heroes. We need more like him nowadays, because Christ, people are after turning yellow. Do you know that?
Yeah. Well, there's two women, Sean, that have come on and said they would intervene.
That's not in the pub. I didn't realise your man was after waking up. And I didn't realise he was there until the last minute. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, you know. You have a good set of balls and you're there, Sean. Two women and they've more balls than you.
Fair play to them, Niall.
They don't
value life the way I value it, you know.
No, but they value other people's lives as well. Not just their own.
I value my own, you know, and that's. And if people want to call me a coward, go ahead. It's not going to change my day. Not my perception either about what's going on the outside, you know. If people want to kick the shit out of each other, and I don't know the situation.
Mayfane.
Let them at it.
Mayfane.
Let them at it.
Mayfane, God love us.
Yeah.
Do you want something different?
I'm on the way, as you said, Niall. Big Sunday dinner on the way home, that's it. I'm not lying in a hospital there with tubes hanging out of me. What happened to him? He intervened in a fight that wasn't his. Oh, did he? Fuck him. That's it.
Mayfane, huh? What do you reckon, Connie?
True horse, guys.
He sums up the country, what it's like today. And you know what? The difference is today, I would be very careful if there was, like, if there are different cultures to ours, there's no scruples when it comes to man, woman, or child.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be very wary there, all right? You have to be very, you have to assess the situation. And you'll know because you can feel the energy changing. So, and but if someone is beating the crap out of someone and they're on the ground, sure, you have to send, you have to do something.
Yeah, well, I know. You are right, Connie. You would feel you have to do something. But Sean wouldn't. Sean's on his way home for his roast dinner.
Well, if you didn't, John. You know, you'd have to go to St. Peter too, even if you don't. He'd have to go in front of St. Peter, if he believes him or not. You have to go and meet your maker and say, look, I tried. I mean,
yeah, St. Peter will be at the gates. What's your name? Sean. Sorry, it says here you're a coward. You know where you're going.
I did interview him before, and I'm not saying this 100 times, and it got me nowhere. So you kind of, you know, it goes that saying, you learn from your mistakes. And I certainly did learn from my mistakes. And look, call me a coward, call me what you like. I'm going to be the one.
Well, I said, no, St. Peter would. That's what Connie said. St. Peter would. When you...
Sean, no, but you know what, Sean, fair play to you. But you know what, the worst people of all are nowadays, the ones you'd see making a video of it, like, and you can't even see what's happening. And you're like, what is wrong with those people? Is there something going wrong with their brains that they can't? You know, you can't watch somebody just getting the shit beaten out of them. You have to do something.
Oh, I wouldn't be watching anything.
You know, he'd be gone.
What I'm going to do is take the dog. I have a really loud dog whistle. If you talk that with you, like, you know, you could, that would, in their eardrums, that might do something. And if you had some kind of, you'd surely find some kind of a weapon that you could do something, you know? And if
are you not a little bit embarrassed? Listen to Maureen, who's, I don't know how old Maureen is, but she's not a young woman, and she'd get stuck in the thick of it. You listen to Connie there, who sounds like a reasonably defenceless woman, but she's willing to get stuck in.
This is all great, Niall. And
she's like Liam Neeson, that woman, Connie. They're knocking off the lights and planning the whole thing and everything. Throwing one foot into the kitchen and locking the door.
There's a plenty of people, Niall, that did intervene in this country through the breadth of it and came out the wrong end of it.
All the people who intervened all throughout history who may have ended up being injured, but they might have changed history or saved a life.
Or ended up dead.
One or two might have ended up dead. You're right, Sean. Yeah. But isn't that what bravery is all about? That's what being a hero sometimes is all about. That's what saving lives is all
bravery,
about.
Bravery, sometimes I call it stupidness, but look, everybody's their own.
So Michael Collins was stupid, was he?
Well, so Michael Collins turned his back on the, that's why he was killed.
He wasn't brave at all. The men of 1916, they weren't brave at all.
They weren't great. It's not 1916 anymore, Noel. It's 2024. Okay. Different story then.
Okay, hang on. It would stay there, Connie. Let me go to Norman. Norman, hi.
Oh, no.
Norman. Oh. Yeah, hi, Norman.
Hi, hang on there. I have you on speaker.
Oh, dear.
Go ahead, yeah?
Yeah, Norman. You heard Connie.
Yeah.
Jeez, that woman is, she's some Rambo. She threw one lad into the kitchen and locked the door into the snooker room. Another fella with a snooker cue. She knew the fight was going to kick off, so she turned off the lights to try and avoid. I mean, what a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would you get involved, Norman?
I'd have to think about it, to be honest with you. Maybe when I was younger, I would. But these days, I don't know what kind of world people are living in. Sorry, what?
I don't want to cut across. Can I say something? I didn't have any. That was my sixth sense that kicked in that night because I could feel it, the energy changing, and I was like, I could see a man's eyes, and I was like, he's going to do something bad, and he had a pool cue in his hand, and I just was lucky that the lights were behind me. I turned them all off, and I think he shouted, but I waited until they were up to calm down, so I turned them back on. But I'm just saying that I was lucky that I thought. Because if I didn't, we'd probably be calling.
But the point is, Norman, she said she couldn't walk past and see an innocent person being beaten up. She'd have to intervene.
Never,
yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. Well, she's one in a million then.
She's not one in a million. I've had two women on so far, and Steve. She's not one in a million.
She's one in a million because...
No, she's not.
Niall.
No, she's not one in a million.
She is because I'm a cyclist. I drive a car. I have a real driving license, like most people here. I cycle. And the amount of times I've been attacked by people with motors, and not one person has intervened. Never, not one single time in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
And isn't that terrible that nobody would intervene to help you?
Shocking, actually. And you know what you should do?
It's shocking.
Hang on, Connie. Have you been physically attacked, Norman?
Sorry.
Threatened. Well, they jumped out of the car and they pushed me. Well, yeah, they pushed me.
And did other people seen what was going on and didn't do anything? Well, then, isn't that shameful? Were you thinking at the time you'd imagine someone would help me here?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, but then you turned around and said you wouldn't get involved. So what do you expect?
I didn't say I wouldn't get involved. I'm just trying to put things in perspective.
Okay, well then I've asked you the question and answer the question. You're walking down the road. You see an innocent guy. You see something kicking off and it seems like a reasonably innocent guy and he's on the ground and some guy is lamping the shine out of him, kicking him. Would you get involved? Yeah. Would you go over and try and stop
it? I won't be stupid enough to get involved, unfortunately.
No.
But it is,
oh, like, you would be.
I'd be stupid enough to do it, yeah. And my son would be stupid enough and my partner would be stupid enough to get involved. And we do that. And my daughter would be stupid enough to get involved.
Well, that's okay then.
But we live in a society that's completely selfish and only about yourself. And we don't reward people who show bravery or show the good behaviour. We can't even you go shopping, people are very rude and ignorant to each other, you know?
I know, and I'm aware we live in a very different world now, and it does seem to be every man and woman for themselves. But in saying that, when you see somebody genuinely in trouble, like the situation John mentioned at the start of the show, you would do something, wouldn't you?
I would hope
you
so.
You shouldn't.
I would hope so. But society, it's not that like that anymore, Niall. That was like, okay, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But it's not like that
Can
anymore.
Can I say something?
I have a person jumping out of a car, right?
Yeah.
It's 10 yards from the guard station. There's a guard car across the road who then, this fella jumps out of his car, right? So I shout and scream at me, drags my bike by the back and tries to kick the shit out of me. No, he didn't because I grabbed onto the lock.
Yeah, but if somebody had have intervened and come over and grabbed your man, wouldn't you have been grateful?
The guards are there.
I'm just saying, if somebody intervened, you'd be grateful, wouldn't you?
But nobody intervened.
I know nobody did, but if somebody did, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying to you here, you'd be grateful if somebody did.
I'd be grateful if people fucking passed the driving test and drove properly.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Norman. Sorry, Connie, what are you trying to say?
Can I say one thing to Norman?
Yeah.
There's a lot of apathy around nowadays, but it only takes one person to change the world.
It does.
And we all have to be that one person.
No, I disagree.
You don't want to where you've gone wrong.
Another May Fainer, huh?
No. Not at all. Not at all. I brought my kids. My kids would jump in. My daughter the other day, Thursday night at 11 o'clock, this fella fell down. And she and she just finished work, her day's work, and she went over a colleague, went over and picked a man in Grafton Street off the ground.
Yeah, but he was he was no real threat to her. But what I'm saying,
he wasn't a threat. It's not about threat. It's about being caring for other people. That's what you're banging on about, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're saying like there's no point in kind of being the hero, is what
you're saying. You don't have to be kicking the shit out of somebody to intervene. You can intervene when somebody is...
Absolutely. That's a different type of intervening. All I'm saying is, you're walking down the road and you see some fella getting pummeled on the ground.
Yeah.
You're telling me you would intervene, you would try and stop it?
I hope so, definitely, yeah.
That's not too bad, is it?
No, but the point is... So like,
Sean wouldn't.
Sean's
at home having his roast beef dinner. He wouldn't be intervening.
Absolutely. Because Sean got the message many years ago, and Sean now is fucking better now. That's why. Because Sean did intervene, and Sean got it.
Sean's not like Connie. I'd rather if I was ever being beaten up somewhere, I'd rather be beaten up beside Connie than you, Sean, because I've a better chance of survival.
Thing, Noel, you know, I'll put it this way, and I'll be honest with you, Noel. If I was ever out on a night out with you and someone started on you and I see...
I wouldn't be on a night out with you, Sean, honestly.
I go out with Connie, but not with you. Yeah, but if I was with somebody and you know, it's different strokes, it's different things, Noel, that would happen. As I said, I would have to size up the situation, I'd have to see what's going on. But learning from my mistakes, Noel, you know, you can, again, Steve there, the whole lot, everybody got on, oh, you're a fucking coward. I've done it, I've been there, and I've seen what can happen. So, you can call me a coward.
Can I say one thing to you?
Yeah, go ahead, Connie.
Steve, is it?
No, Sean.
You know what? If you saw in a few days' time that person was dead, how would you feel then?
I wouldn't give a fuck, because it's not my beef, Connie. Exactly. It's nothing to do with me.
God almighty,
God forgive me, is right.
What's wrong with the world?
Connie. You go save the world, Connie. The same as Steve and Maureen and the whole lot of you. You go save the world.
But at least we can have a small bit of fucking empathy and kindness.
I did.
It seems to be
You're not listening
fashion.
To me.
You're not listening to me, Connie.
Hopefully, Sean, you know, in the future, that's not one of your kids on the ground.
You said you wouldn't
give
a fuck.
Here we go, playing the fucking stupid game, Noel.
I'm just saying, Sean, that hopefully it's not your son or your daughter that's on the ground, and you'd be there going, why didn't someone intervene? Why wasn't there a Connie around?
So I'm the bad cunt, what? I've done it before, and I just because I've done it before, I won't do it again because I've got a bit of common sense. And he's calling me this, and he's calling me that.
I've done a lot of things in my life once and made a mistake, and it didn't work out, and then I just do it a different way.
Selfish.
So you think that I'm a better guy. Did you ever see, Noel, when was the last time you were in the city centre?
2 weeks
Honest
ago.
Honest question.
2 weeks ago.
Right, now. I'm going in there this evening at 7 o'clock, 9, 8 o'clock, okay?
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you I'm going to see about at least 4 or 5 fights, Noel. So are you fucking telling me, Noel, that I'm with my partner on a night out?
I'm not asking you to get involved in brawls, Sean.
A minute, Noel, please.
Yeah, you're
please.
Missing a point completely.
Right, let all your listeners listen to this. So I'm going to come across at least 4 or 5 fights because we're going to meet a few friends of ours and we're going through a few different places. So here's the thing. If I see 4 or 5 fights, I should intervene, should I?
I'm not asking you to intervene in average brawls on the street because you'd be there all day. You'd never get to your destination because it happens. You're right. In Dublin, brawls happen on a regular basis and people start fighting. Right? I'm talking about if you saw a situation where an innocent man or what seemed to be an innocent man or an innocent woman was being pummeled.
How do you fucking know, Noel?
Well, for example, the situation John described at the start, it was quite clear that this taxi driver was being picked on or was being, you know, assaulted by this guy.
Right.
And, you know, 10 other taxi drivers all sat in their cars and did nothing.
So if I see a guy on the ground tonight and he's getting the shit kicked out of him, I should intervene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch me fucking do it. And what? Multiply that by 4.
Connie would.
Multiply by 4.
Connie be on your man's back.
You could do something.
Fair play to you, Connie. You know, fair play. Connie, well done. And fair play to Steve. And Maureen, fair play to
you.
You know what? It wouldn't be a much of a night out for me now if I start going around fighting fucking people all over the city now, would it?
No one's asking you to run around with a cape on you, Sean. You're such a clown.
Steve is doing it.
Hang on. Let me go to Gladys. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Yeah, I'm just wondering how many fights has he actually started himself.
Who, Sean?
Yes.
And then ran away.
I started a fight in my life.
You know,
Jesus Christ.
Look, we live in a society. We don't live in bubbles. We live in a society.
And what do you want me to do? The guard's job as well? Is you another one of these that you want me to go around, you know, sorting people's problems out and breaking fights up, is it?
Hold on. Nobody's asking you to be a warrior or a martyr. Nobody.
Yeah.
They're asking you to be a civil human being. So you don't have to jump in.
Did you not hear what I explained to you? A minute ago there. I'm going to the town tonight.
You're not the only one that's ever happened to. It happened to me.
Yeah.
But I got over it.
So what do you want me to do?
Hang on, Sean. So Gladys, you intervened in a fight and...
I intervened between a man and a woman. And years ago, I'm, you know, too old now to intervene between anybody, you know.
Yeah.
But years ago, I didn't think twice about it. It didn't occur to me that something could have happened to me. It didn't. You know, I went in kind of, you know, making a joke, calming them down, you know, and it did diffuse it. Look, it could have gone worse. You know, I kind of thought about it afterwards and thought, oh my God. But I didn't think at the time. I just thought this is going to escalate into something really nasty.
And someone's going to get
hurt.
I didn't think at that point either,
you know.
Yeah, but it worked out for me. But the point I'm making, what really boils my blood is everybody out with their camera, everybody watching, you know, waiting to see. This is not how human beings should behave. You see somebody
who's vulnerable, getting the shit
kicked out of them, and you either call the police, or as one of the ladies say, you throw a shoe, you do something. You don't walk
What's
home
your name again,
for your roast beef dinner.
Hey, you don't walk
Gladys.
Home for your roast beef dinner. Gladys.
What's your name,
sorry? Gladys is her name. Gladys.
Gladys. I just want to say something to Gladys. No, you're right, Gladys. People should act like me. Don't go around and looking for fights in the first place. Don't be getting drunk out of your head, fighting with people. Don't be arguing with people.
You're missing the point. You're missing the point. What's happening in the world, Sean, she's saying is, you know...
If everybody mind their own fucking business and went home and everybody got home safely, wouldn't they? Honestly.
So you'd mind your own business. There you go. Sure, look, he's getting his head kicked in.
I mind my own business,
with human beings. We live in a society. We don't
live in
a
society. It's here. Gladys. When are you waking up, Gladys? It's 2024. Society is fucked. Society is fucked if you didn't look out that window.
That is not a good enough reason.
It is. It's a fucking kid, Gladys. Will you wake up and smell the coffee?
Oh, yeah. Well, by the way, Sean, your kids live in 2024 and you want a better world for your kids, but you're quite happy to walk off and just leave somebody else be beaten up on the street.
Now,
Sean, people are calling you a coward, and in fairness, the shoe fits. You know what I mean?
What the fuck you like?
I'm just saying, you're the one who said, you know, and there's Gladys. You know, I mean, she's an older woman. Sorry, Gladys. She's an older woman.
True.
And she understands how society works. It's not every man for himself.
You all make me pissed. And that's the whole lot of you with how society works. So I should go well and put my fucking bone on the line for all it.
It doesn't happen every day of the week, Sean. It's not like it's... And nobody wants you to be running around with a cape on you. It doesn't happen every day of the week. I'm just saying, in the rare situation, you might see an innocent person, what looks like an innocent person, be it a man or a woman, the ground, getting their head kicked in, that you would do something or try and help in some way as a human being.
Can I ask him a question? Yeah. Can I ask him a question? If he saw an elderly woman or a woman that maybe, you know, with a disability or something like that, being harassed, like a situation that I came across in town,
of course I would.
Where these two, I don't know, in their 50s, whatever the age group, and they thought it would be funny and, you know, amusing to them in their drunken state to take out their minuscule penis and piss all over the road that I was trying to walk on. And then when I moved off that, the mate in the middle, this is just off Henry Street, his mate took out his minuscule penis and poured all his wee all over in front of me. Now, they thought this was nobody intervened, my aunt. Nobody came, it wasn't a violent act, it was a disgusting
harassment,
absolutely disgusting, but intimidating. And I use language that I didn't even know I had, you know. I was so angry that honestly I was willing to I don't know.
Maybe you should have removed those small penises. What was I going to say? By the way, was there other people around, Gladys? Were there other passerbys and people around?
No, nobody. You know, sort of thing. Like, I mean, they saw what was happening. The road is full of urine. You know, then they moved on to the path is full of it. And then they moved on to the road. You know, so you're trying to negotiate. Jeez. And then you've got mothers with prams and negotiating urine.
What sort of people are we wearing?
Disgusting.
Noel.
Yeah, yeah. Would you have intervened in that situation where they were?
I would have intervened. I said that already when Joe was on earlier on. Of course I'd intervene, and anybody like that's doing that to elderly people or anybody in shape or form. As I said, Gladys, and I don't think you heard me, I'd size up the situation, see what's going on, and if I can, I will intervene. If I can't, I won't. Now, guys, listen, as Noel said... Gladys,
then
I'm done with this.
You're not living in a bubble.
As Noel said... My dinner's ready. I'm going to mind my own business, guys. Have a great day. Good luck.
Right. Let me go to...
Look at his dinner as his dinner. You know?
Do you think we live in... He's going to have his roast beef dinner. Do you think... I mean, you heard as well Angela earlier on saying more or less the same thing too. You know, it's not worth your while getting involved. We're living in a different world. Do you think society has changed?
We're living... The one thing I will say, Niall, that has become really apparent over the last few years, that if somebody does intervene, never mind risking, you know, something happening to themselves, but they also run the risk, because things have gone so screwed, they run the risk of having, you know, a criminal offence against them, that they end up then being criminalised for intervening in something. And that's what frightens people too, because, you know, I know somebody that happened to, and the reason why they didn't intervene, because they're a black belt and they could have done serious damage, was that they knew in the law that they'd end up with some sort of, could end up losing their job, a criminal offence, and you name it. And that was the reason why they didn't intervene.
But it does seem quite shocking from the very start, the story John told, I don't know whether you were listening at the start, about the taxi driver. It does seem quite shocking that, you know, this taxi driver was getting beaten up at the front of the rank and 10 other taxi drivers in their cars behind, not one of them got out to help him.
I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised by that. That does not surprise me. I mean, you know, I find the whole taxi system has changed as well. That's a different story. You know, where they're usually accommodating and really helpful to somebody like me. That kind of has changed. It's a rarity now to find somebody that is really, you know, pleasant and, you know, again, just like your man, living in their own little bubble. I don't see anything. I don't look anywhere. I don't look left or right. I don't see nothing.
You know what? I was in New York going back about 30 years ago. I was only in my 20s and I was there for 6 months living with my cousin. And people, when I came back, people said to me, what was the big difference between New York and Dublin? And I said, in New York, people don't speak to each other unless they know each other. Like, they don't, you know the way you'd be walking down the street as an Irish person and you'd say to somebody, nice day today. And they go, oh, yeah. Mm. And, you know, strangers just say hello to each other. Never had, that wouldn't happen in New York. Everybody lives in their own little world. Even when we went out to nightclubs, you know, you didn't go over and talk to a girl, for example, unless you were introduced to them or you knew them, because everybody was cautious of everybody else. And I said, that was the big difference I noticed in New York. People were living in their own little insular worlds. And I said, geez, I hope Dublin's never like that. But I see Ireland becoming like that now.
That is exactly, London is exactly the same. When I lived in London when I was younger, no eye contact. I couldn't understand this concept that, you know, everybody head down, eyes anywhere, but whatever, not give you the way the Irish would, you know, a nod, a wink, a look, or, you know, acknowledgement of who we are as human beings, a chat about, honestly, the weather. Now it has become, I have to say, Niall, and I know this sounds really depressing, because it has depressed me so much. My country is, now, I know evolution and evolving and all of that kind of stuff, but we're losing something of our humanity. We are hugely, hugely empathetic and decent human beings and generous and kind. And something has gone really wrong. And your man has gone home to have his bit of roast beef. You know, it's him, because somebody... You know,
roast beef on a Thursday, by the way, as well. But whatever about a Sunday, roast beef on a Thursday. But do me a favor, stay there, Gladys, because I just want to go to Bernie to wrap this up. Sorry, Bernie. Poor old Bernie. Poor old Bernie always ends up as the last caller for some reason. I don't know why that happens. It's not planned, Bernie, I swear.
Don't worry about it. I'm fine. I would jump in. I wouldn't even think about it.
Here's something that's mind-blowing today, with the exception of Steve, right? The blokes... I expected to all say they jump in, and the girls, you know, oh, I go and get a man, or I go off and make a phone call. And maybe that's just sexist of me to say that. But every woman that's come on today, with the exception of Angela, has said they would intervene. And yet men were saying they would walk away. And that blows my mind. Listen to Connie. She was like Rambo earlier on.
Because you see something going on and you think of your own family and you think, if that was my brother or my sister or my... You know, that's somebody's livelihood that's been beaten and the crap out of them. That's not right. I mean, I'd be shouting it from the start as soon as I observed it.
Yeah.
And then I'd be going up as far as I can. Hopefully I'd drag another one or two with me going, this is fucking terrible. And I'd go out and go for them. And, you know, hopefully be able to see there was, you know, enough people around that we could all kind of intervene.
And what's wrong with us? What's wrong with society, Bernie, that people have become... Mayfainers, you know, these kind of selfish attitude, every man for himself, I'm not getting involved.
Well, I mean, I honestly don't know. To be honest, I think people are fearful. I mean, there's all this knife crime and, you know, they might throw a drug. You haven't time to think about those things. Somebody needs your help. We're here to help each other. Isn't that the basic factor? I don't know what else you can tell your children or tell your family to do. I mean, I always say to my kids, if you see something happening, try and do your best to help out the situation.
Yeah. Obviously don't get yourself killed, obviously, in the process. But yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if somebody's having a heart attack in front of me, am I going to step over them and go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't do my CPR? You're going to sit and talk to the person, try and resuscitate them. You're going to try and save their life to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, you see somebody cut or they've, you know, walked into something, you're going to help them. Or you see somebody who's elderly, who's maybe his feet keeled over, are you going to walk over and bypass
them? Sean would be gone.
Of course you're going to try and help them get up and try and get them, you know, sorted. And if they need a doctor, if they need help or intervention, of course you're going to do your best. That's what I am. I'm a human being. I don't expect the dog or the cat to get and help me. I expect me to help somebody else. And
does it blow your mind when you listen to people today saying they wouldn't get involved?
It doesn't blow my mind. It doesn't blow my mind, because everyone is different. Everyone is.
But have we changed? Gladys thinks we've changed.
Yes, we have. We've lost that ability. I mean, you went up to your neighbours, you know, you'd help her out with the washing if the machine was broken. That's all stopped now. You don't even know who your neighbour is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's gone. You go to school with your neighbour's friend, your next-door neighbour's child. You'd bring them to school. If they were going to sixth class and you were going to fifth class, you'd all go together. that's all stopped. Nobody knows who each other is now. And that's really sad. And society and communities are breaking down.
I'm so disappointed with Irish men listening to them today. Now, obviously, it was primarily women on today, which is that surprises me as well, that the majority of people who wanted to get involved in the conversation were actually women. Women seem to show more empathy in these situations. So just before I go, Derry-Ann, I literally only have 2 minutes now. Derry-Ann.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Derry-Ann, would you get involved?
Yeah, I have done.
Lads, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Street. Yeah. Mm. No, I'm saying men should be ashamed of themselves listening to the show today.
To be honest, with men, if women, I think, can get away with it easier. But if a man then, you know, could turn on them, I just kind of can see why it's harder. But what happened was I was in Abbey Street waiting for a bus to Swords. And there was two guys, and they were, I'd say they were on their heads on drugs. Well, they were actually on drugs. And one guy went over to this really young girl and started pestering her. I could see she was really nervous. Now, there's lots of people at the bus stop, but nobody did that. And so eventually I called her the name of my daughter and said, come here, I said, I told you to ring me before you were going home. And she got it in one and she came over. And then he came over to me and he started doing the same. And I said, look, now, you just take a hike, I said, because my husband works in that police station down there and I'll have him up here in 5 minutes. And then he started on the second one and I called her, my stepdaughter.
And everybody else at the bus stop was doing nothing?
No, they all ignored, all got better. And anyway, I noticed the other guy had a bottle of vodka. And when the bus came in, I told the two girls, go right down, don't go upstairs, go to the back, wait for me. And I said to the busman, please don't get those guys on. One of them has a weapon and they're causing terrible hassle to those two young girls. So he shut down the bus, closed the doors and rang the guards. And they were up in 5 minutes. But this man in his suit coming home from work stood up and started abusing me. How dare you hold up this bus?
All he was worried about was getting home. He wasn't worried about the two women. He was just worried about getting home.
Exactly. And I said to him, excuse me, I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. You stood at that bus stop. You saw those two young girls being harassed. And they were only about 19, I'd say 18, 19. And I said, you did nothing. So sit down and shut up.
Okay, hold on. Just before we finish here today, stay there, Bernie, Gladys and Derry-Ann. Sean wants to come back on again. He has something important to say. Sean.
Well, here's the thing, Noel. I'm just listening to you there while I was having my dinner. And I
your roast beef dinner. Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I want to say this. Fair play to all the women. Yes, Noel, you said it. But the fact of the matter is, did you ever see, a man is not inclined to go to town on a woman. And that's the difference between a man fighting in a row and a girl intervening in a row.
That's not the point, Sean. I've been listening to women coming on the show, Derry-Ann. There was people there at that bus stop, men. And the only thing the man on the bus was worried about was holding up his bus journey home. Derry-Ann was worried about the two women being harassed and possibly, you know, being the victims of a crime. She got involved. He didn't.
Yes.
You know, Bernie, the same situation. Gladys, the same situation. Connie earlier on. But yet the lads that are coming on going, no, oh, I'd have to weigh up the situation. No, I think I'd be going home.
Stands,
I'm not getting involved.
He was more going to get it. Oh, the women are the men, not the men.
Stop to defend a silly argument, Sean. I mean, I understand you don't put your life in danger. Obviously, you weigh up a situation. But you heard what Gladys said and what Bernie said. Bernie said, you know, if there was somebody there in that situation that we described at the start, she'd shout over initially and see would that stop. But if it didn't, she'd approach the situation, get as close as she is, could, and hopefully encourage other people to do it as well. So what I'm saying is they would do something. They wouldn't just walk away.
It's different for women, Niall. It is different for women. Of course it is.
Yeah, yeah. But
if a man is going to get intervene in Niall,
sorry, Bernie,
he's going to start.
Sorry, Bernie, what are you saying to him there?
I said, Sean, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not. It's the same for men and women.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
If you're in a row, if you're... here's the thing. I'm not going to... See if I was in a row tomorrow and you get intervened and if you put your hands on me, I'm just going to shrug you off.
But it doesn't make any difference. She's still intervening. She's still taking a chance. Yeah, but if a man, whereas a man is much stronger generally.
If a man put a man, it puts a hand on a man, that's when it goes. That's when it goes.
What I'm saying is, listening today, women are more courageous than men when it comes to these situations.
Fair play to them,
I'm actually ashamed of Irish men listening to some of the comments coming in.
I
rarely agree with Steve, but on this occasion, he's 100% right. These are all a bunch of cowards. And
listen, here's the thing, Niall. I live to see another day. Steve won't, the way he's going on.
No. What about Bernie and Darianne and Gladys? They'll all live to see another day. Look, they've done a bit of good in their lives, haven't they?
We have so far. It doesn't cost anything to help.
Yeah.
And fair play to you. You keep doing the Gardaí's job. You're a great standing citizens of the country. Fair play to you.
Yeah.
Listen, apply for the Gardaí. They're looking for the service. Niall, good luck. Have a good day. Good luck.
He's got to get his dessert. Darianne, listen, thank you very much indeed. Bernie and Gladys, you're all very welcome to come on the show anytime. And Connie and everybody else. Isn't it shockingly surprising that out of all the callers today, with the exception of few, including Steve, that the guys were cautious about getting involved and some downright just didn't want to get involved, would rather go home for their dinner, would walk past, not my problem. But yet all of the women, with the exception of Angela, other way around, said they would get involved. So it just goes to show you that women are more courageous, more empathetic, and treat society as a whole in a much, much better way than men. Men are selfish when it comes to these situations. That's what we found out today. We could be completely wrong, but I can only go by the evidence before me. And I'm sorry, lads. I'm ashamed of y'all. I'm ashamed of men today. You're all a bunch of cowards. Well, not all of you, obviously. But those who said, and I'm very proud of women. Well done, Connie, by the way. She was like Rambo, escorting or scuttling some drunk into a room and then locking the door, then going into the fight and turning off the lights. She said it like she was planning the whole thing, meticulously, chucking them out of the pub. Unbelievable. Darren says, absolutely, people nowadays take out their phones to record rather than help. We have turned into a society of selfish narcissists. Citizen says, good question. Some years back, I intervened when a drunken man assaulted a drunken woman. They both turned on me. That's the chance you take, unfortunately. I get that. Tracy says, they are all well able to video it on their phones and share it. Soundbites Harris said this would stop. He said it was illegal to put these tents up. Oh yeah, sorry, that's Todd Paul by the tents, that's right. We need to teach our kids self-defense, as somebody else. Obviously, that's a really good point. But anyway, I've been asked to give this a quick mention. County Clare parents protested this morning in the village of Six Mile Bridge against the decision to get rid of a dedicated secondary school bus service. And there was a huge amount of people, I believe, in attendance, and they were looking for more support to highlight this. So a representative said that the dedicated school bus service from Crathlow was restored on Wednesday night and that the protests will continue to make sure that the same thing happens for Six Mile Bridge and Newmarket. The current plan sees for too many children boarding buses at the same time and place, and there will be 334 children, 282 going to Shannon and the rest going to Limerick and Ennis, getting on 9 buses in 35 minutes. It's a lot. Of course, there are going to be issues and someone's going to get hurt, and that's the fact of the matter. That's according to the representative. In other words, they don't have enough buses, so they are going to have another protest. So if you're part of that, please do, sorry, in that area, please do support them. It's a good cause. We're going to wrap it up, but lads, you all should hang your heads in shame. You really should, with the exception of Steve today, by the way. You should all hang. As for Sean going home for his roast beef dinner, he was the one who mentioned, I'm going home for my roast beef dinner. You know, while some guy is getting his head pummeled on the ground. Thanks to John, by the way, from Cork, who brought up the topic today. It was an interesting topic. It just goes to show you, we've changed as a society. We've turned into insular, selfish Mayfainers. Well, men have. Women clearly haven't. Anyway, listen, do support the show. Please go to our website, nileboylan.com. We need your support more than ever. We do need to pay the bills, getting close to the end of the month again. And we're not going to have enough money, but we want to keep the show on the road, keep the lights going, keep the cameras running. So please do support us. All you got to do is go to the website, nileboylan.com. You can either donate a once-off amount if you want, a small amount, 5 or 5 million. Or if you want to, you can subscribe to the website. That's like giving us a cup of coffee once a month. One cup of coffee from Starbucks once a month. That's all you have to do. And you will be supporting the show to keep us on the air every day, to give you a platform to have your opinion. Today was a social issue, obviously, a social dilemma. Other days we talk about the news. We're not afraid to talk about the news. We're not afraid to talk about chaos. We're not afraid to talk about the civil unrest in society. We're not afraid to talk about these things. Your radio stations are afraid to talk about them. But we're not. The mainstream media won't talk about it. We're not. And we give you an opportunity to come on and have your opinion. So please support us. Go to nileboylan.com. I should talk to you again on Monday at 12 o'clock. Until then, don't forget, over the weekend, we did a great interview with Patrick Tobin day before yesterday. And that's now up on our website, by the way. And you will be shocked, shocked, as he calls for the resignation of Rodrigo Gorman, the Minister for Children, over the amount of children that are going either missing in Tuzla or being badly treated. And he got that all under freedom of information. So the incompetence of Tuzla. So please go on and have a listen to that. You will be actually shocked by that interview. You can listen to it over the weekend. They're all on the website, nileboylan.com. I should talk to you again on Monday. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.